while I'm up here. I don't lose my voice. Amen. Brother Tim, go ahead and adjust this microphone just a little bit. Amen. I want to preach to us tonight on a simple thought. You all said amen. That way you understand it, see? You guys ain't just a simple guy. Just trying to do a simple thing. Amen. Where all my young people have left. Well, most of them. So, Addison, do you want to be the one that we use tonight as the example? No? And I don't have enough. Oh, here comes one. Welcome back to church, young men. I hope you enjoyed your bathroom break. You're supposed to do that before church starts. Amen. All right. I want Brother Isaac, go ahead and move up here to the front. Brother Grant, go ahead and come up here. Amen. I want to give you guys, I point these guys out. I love them dearly. Me and Isaac, we've got a little battle we still got to work on. He spilled a large cream soda on me the other day. I haven't quite decided what his punishment is. So if anybody has any chores, like nasty chores at home, you might offer, call on Isaac. See if you can get him to do it. I appreciate it. Amen. Go ahead and sit there on the front row. Tate, won't you come up here? Come over here, Big Grant. Mr. Grant Schaefer, come here. I need your strong arms. So this young man's active in sports. He's got the build for it for sure. Grant, little Grant, come here. You're the smallest one of the bunch. I want to show you guys something. Are we rolling yet, Timmy? Have you started? Is it set right? All right, come here. Yeah. All right. I want you to sit down right here on the ground. Go ahead, sit down. Go ahead. Get your feet out. All right. I want you to grab a hold of this shoulder. Grab a hold of this leg. And you do the same thing on this side. No, you're fine. Just trust him. Trust him. Trust him. See, sometimes, that's good. Here, grab a hold of him. All right, now carry him across here. What's happening? He can't walk. He can try. He's being what? What's he being done? Here, carry him back over here. Here, set him right here. He's going to be my helper tonight. Right here. Yeah, right there on that bin. There we go. All right, you couldn't get here by yourself. You probably could have tried. But sometimes in life... Oh, don't go back over there. Come up here. I need your help, young man. I'm not done with you yet. Just sit there on the front pew. Sometimes through life, we can't go there. We can't go in different areas in our life by ourselves. Sometimes we're carried. Now, the carrying process sometimes is uncomfortable. Now, I didn't have a sling or a bed or anything for Grant to be carried in. He had to be manhandled. Now, sometimes in life, we feel like we have been had nothing else given to us or done to us except being manhandled. I want to preach to us tonight from Matthew or Mark chapter 10 on this simple thought. Carried, but not complete. Carried, but not complete. Now Grant was carried. Willing or unwilling, he couldn't go anywhere when them boys had a hold of him, even if he tried. Sometimes life carries us through things and we're not complete in them. We're only distracted, discouraged, get hold of this last one, or damaged. As I read this story, if you stand with me, reading of God's Word, Mark chapter 10, I'm going to read one verse. And they came to Jericho. This is speaking of Jesus and the disciples. And as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Now, how many in here has ever known someone that was blind, lame, or halt? I have a friend of mine, young lady that I worked with, that she caught a disease and lost her sight unexpectedly, just gone. We find here this man, Bartimaeus, was an individual of importance. You say, well, how do you know that? Because his father was mentioned. He was a man that everyone knew whose son he was. Let me tell you, whenever you live your life as a Christian, everyone knows who your father is. But sometimes, even though others know who our father is, we are still satisfied being carried and not complete. Bow your heads with me this evening. Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord, to be in your house. Lord, I pray that you would wrap your presence round about us, Lord, that you would complete us here tonight. I pray that you'd move in our hearts and our lives. Lord, draw us to this altar here tonight. I pray that you'd move in my mind and my lips, my heart. Lord, help my voice to stay strong. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You're not supposed to be standing yet. Amen. This is a very common passage of Scripture. Anybody here that's ever read through their Bible or heard anybody preaching for any length of time has heard this story of blind Bartimaeus. There's some things I want to bring out about Mr. Bartimaeus as we go through the message tonight. But before I get there, I want us to focus in on what he was doing by the highway. He was begging. There are a lot of things in our life that we constantly never try to overcome. We never really try to get help because we are comfortable begging. It wasn't till the point that Bartimaeus realized that he was tired of dealing with the same thing. And when he finally came to the point that he was tired, he was done dealing with it, he made a declaration. Now, for those of you that was here on Friday night, there were some young people that made some declarations. There were some that stayed in the sanctuary after others left because they wasn't done until they wasn't going to quit until they were complete. And this all, it would be so easy for me just to go get my notes from Friday night and just preach that. I have to be honest with you. There was a lot of things this afternoon that I was praying over, and I was like, Lord, what can I preach? Because I have all these thoughts rolling around in this marble jar up here. I was like, Lord, I really want to preach this, and I really want to preach that. But sometimes what we want to do isn't what's best for us. What I was talking about Friday night is a simple statement. It is what it is. Sometimes we just accept the things in life and say, I'm just never going to be any better. It's never going to be any different. So I will continue to be carried. But we find here is Bartimaeus came to a determination. And he heard the sound of people talking. He heard one say, oh, I can see, I can walk. And all of a sudden, he said, hey, I've got some ailments. I've got some things in my life that's a little deficient. But he didn't call out just yet. We don't find, this is what amazes me in this story, as I'm going to read down through it here in just a moment, is as he was there by the highway side, Jesus had already passed him by. Sometimes we wait till after the master has already left the building. And I holler at London all the time. I say, London! And she never hears my voice because I don't holler at her the same way that her mother can and catch her attention. Lindsay's trying to teach me to have that perfect pitch and tone that catches her attention. It's, you almost have to, Lindsay told me this, you have to almost sing it. Because if anybody's been around me, whenever I holler or I talk, how far does my voice get? About not very far. I can spit farther than my voice carries. And that's a true statement. I don't know why things are louder in my head than they are to everyone else. Except when I'm playing the drums. But we find that so many times we wait until after the fact. And I'll be hollering, "London, London." And she's looking at me now because she can hear me really good. It's that microphone. Yeah, I need this all the time, don't I? But sometimes she gets past me and I'm trying to catch her attention, but I can snap. And then the brakes will throw on. She'll turn and look. "Yeah, what is it?" Sometimes my voice can't catch her attention, but there are other things it does. Sometimes Jesus is passing by, and we're trying everything but the very thing he's looking for. Anybody want to guess what that is? It is obedience. Whenever he speaks our name and begins to prick our heart. Here, set up here. Here, Mr. Blind Man. Here, set up here. Look at everyone. He can't see. He's blind. But yet he's looking around. So many times we wait until he's already gone. So in verse number 47, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" There are times in our life that we are carried about and we just accept the carrying that's being done. And we accept that we're not complete. But we forget that we've been given a very powerful weapon that is built inside of us that so many times we neglect to use. And that is the weapon, amen, of our voice. We find that Bartimaeus began to cry out. And when he found out there was others that was trying to keep him quiet, trying to keep him from quit being carried, from trying to keep him from being complete, what was it that he did? He began to cry out the more. What would happen here tonight if when we begin to come up against things in our life, if we would simply quit thinking about it and start crying about it? Because I find in the scripture that our tears are bottled up and they are poured out before our Father. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if we would realize that there is a completion that has got your name on it, there is a miracle, there is an answer to all of your questions and all of your prayers, if you would simply start doing the one thing the enemy tells you you need to quit doing and start letting the tears flow and let your voice be heard. It might not be pretty, but I'm here to tell you that it's beautiful to God. But so many times we're satisfied just being carried. I remember as little London, not little anymore, her legs would get tired. She'd come to me, "Daddy, Daddy, carry me." Anybody in here ever heard that? You're like, "What's this? I've been carrying you for 3 miles." Pick her up and carry her for a little while. Thinking, "Oh, she's got her energy back. She's starting to wiggle a little bit." Put her down. Didn't last long. Sometimes we're still satisfied with the childlike mentality of, "Why do it myself when someone else can do it for me?" Sometimes we get in the same position and place in our Christian walk with God, is we are just satisfied with where we're at and not crying out. Because the pastor's going to pray for me. You guys are awful quiet. You not know that your pastor prays for you? How else do you think you got it this far? I'm serious. You guys, it's kind of humorous to us, but sometimes we don't think. And it might be because some of you haven't been woke up in the middle of the night with someone on your heart or your mind. When you pastor people, you care for them, you're concerned for their needs, and all of a sudden God speaks to you in the middle of the night and you wake up and you don't, Lord, what is it? We're kind of like Samuel. But instead of going back to sleep, if we begin to cry, say, Father, I want to be the answer to someone's prayer. We find that Bartimaeus was crying. And when they told him to be quiet, he cried greater. I want you to notice something that he stated. He did not just call him Jesus, but he called him Jesus of Nazareth. He had heard the stories. Anybody here know who Jesus of Nazareth is? Anybody here know the story of that son of David? That root of Jesse that was going to come and it was going to break forth and it was going to bring salvation. This young man, no doubt, stood close to the temple and heard the stories and heard the promises that was going to be fulfilled. And as he sat on the side of the road, blind and unable to see what was happening, he allowed his ears, amen, to consume knowledge. He said, I might not be able to see, but I want to be a disciple. I want to be someone that whenever that time comes, if it's in my lifespan, I want to be one that's going to acknowledge who he is. We find that he called out to him and said, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. You might be saying to yourself, I've cried an awful lot and he's never heard me. Just cry one more time. Don't give up because he's not giving up on you. We find in verse number 49, all of his energy that he expelled was not in vain. And Jesus stood still. There's a lot of times Jesus stood still. He stood still in the midst of a crowd whenever a woman with an issue of blood that had been plagued with it day after day and year after year all of a sudden touched him and the virtue left Christ, left from the hem of his garment and went into that woman. He stopped. Somebody touched me. Are you going to be that person here tonight that's going to cry out to him and say, Lord, I'll cry out the more if I can just touch you. Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to tear a roof off. I'm willing to go down 7 times. I'm willing to do whatever you ask of me because I want to be called. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth me. All right, you can rise up, Brother Grant. Stand up there. Oh, no, stand up on that next bench. Step up. Be closer to me. He stood up. It tells me he was still sitting because he wasn't sure what was going to happen. There might have been some folks holding him down. There's some people, let me talk about this here just 1 second. There's some people in your life that you're still hanging around that's holding you back. There's some relationships you need to let go of. You need to quit playing with it. Don't flirt with the devil. He plays for keeps. He'll either take your purity or he'll take your life, any whichever one he can get. There might have been somebody holding him down, but they find when Jesus called unto him, he stood up. What happens when the Spirit of God calls your name in a service? Sometimes we do this because it's more convenient. You watch me over here. I can come over there and show you too, but we don't come to the front and lift our hands. We like to find us a place where nobody's going to see us. And we tuck in down under. Why is it? Just let me talk to you for a moment. It's because we don't want other people to know that we've been called on. This place up here is a holy place that is filled with power, with passion. But so many times we want to sneak away. What are they going to think? What are they going to say? It doesn't matter. We're not the ones that are calling you. He is. And let me tell you, there is nothing greater in the hearts and lives of the people that do ministry in this church to see is whenever someone comes up without having to be prompt and begins to worship and declare to God, I have been called and I'm going to do what you'd have me do without question, without problem, because I'm looking for the promise of that completion. Notice that that blind Bartimaeus did not, when he was calling out to Jesus, he did not call out and say, I need to see, I need to see. He just simply asked him to have mercy. I want to ask you, church, here tonight, when you see someone that is being carried and is not yet complete, do you have mercy? Or do you try to silence the pain and cover up the distraction that they might be in your life? He called him. And when he called him, he rose up. Verse number 50. And he, casting away his garment, arose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto the Lord, That I may receive my sight. Not only did Bartimaeus go crying, not only did he rise when he was called, number three, he was considered. Sometimes we look at our problem and say, there's just no way. There's no way God is going to move for me. After everything I've said, everything I've done, after everything I've been through, there's just no way that He's going to consider to help me where I currently am. Let me tell you, if you respond when He calls you, He is going to meet you face to face. Come here, buddy. Get them hands out of your pocket. Come on, you've been considered. And He's going to look at you. And He's going to make your request known to Him. And when that request is given, He is going to begin to consider. No, not chocolate cake. Grant wants to be a comedian, I guess. Chocolate cake's not in your future, buddy. Sugar diabetes will be if you're not careful. We begin to be considered. What happens when you're considered for a position? You are entertained. Your offers are entertained. And all of a sudden we find ourselves setting in heavenly places. We find that in the Word of God. That there is a place that we can be carried to. And when we are carried to that place, it is a place of consideration. We ask ourselves, well, why hasn't it happened yet? Realize you're in the consideration period. God is looking at you and He's saying, won't you have a conversation with me? Won't you open up about the pain that's inside? Won't you show me the scars? Show me the bruises? Show me where you've been abused? I'm here to tell you tonight that God Almighty is looking, He's called, and He's considering you as the next success story. He's considering to fulfill every promise that is in His book, which is yours, if you will just obey His voice. If you will wake up and say, I'm done being carried. I am ready for my completion now. He cast off his garment. And when he got to Christ, he knew what it was that he was wanting. But he refused to define him by what he left behind. There's some people, because of what they did in the past, we want to hold it over their head like an umbrella. He was a drunk. You'll always be a drunk. He was a smoker. You'll always be a smoker. He did drugs. You'll always do drugs. You were addicted to pornography. You'll always be. I'm here to tell you tonight that we serve a God that breaks chains and delivers. Amen. Sister Shelley is a testimony to that here tonight. I hope you don't mind me pointing you out. God has delivered her. She stood and declared it. And she's not the only one. A lot of us are so scared to acknowledge that we've been considered even over our failures. I'm going to tell you tonight, I was somebody that was going to be backslid and living for the enemy. But I found myself a place where I was going to be, where I was going to cry and I was going to call so that I could be considered. I don't care where you've been, but honey, let me tell you, I know where you can go. Jesus Christ, He is the author and the finisher. He's got a royal bloodline that can flow through your veins here tonight. He's got a crown with your name on it. Cast off your garment. Say, I'm not going to be that person no more. We find in verse number 52, and Jesus said unto him, old blind Bart here, go thy way. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He didn't go back home. Hey, he didn't go back home. When Jesus left Jericho, guess who was tagging along? Peter says, hey, Jesus, who's this guy? Well, that's old blind Bartimaeus. He's blind. What happened to him? Where'd he get that new garment? He used to be a beggar. You know what old blind Bartimaeus may have did? He went on by daddy's house and said, hey, guess what? I can come back home because I can see now. No doubt he might have been someone of some great importance, and all of a sudden it looked like there was royalty that was following Christ. Amen. What would happen if we would begin to dress ourselves in our spiritual robes once again and say, I want to be known as somebody that rolls on the floor. I want to be known as someone that shouts till my hair falls down. I want to be known as someone that is on fire. Someone that has been compensated here tonight. I'm here to tell you that God wants to do nothing but complete you to give you that compensation. What do we find in the scripture? Pastor talked about it tonight. That year of Jubilee, when all of a sudden everything comes home. How many here wants to be compensated for what the enemy's taken from you? Let me tell you, living in a world filled with sin, there are things that happen to us in our lives that has nothing to do with God, but has everything to do with sin. We need to acknowledge them for what they was and what they are. And we have to look up to our Heavenly Father and said, you've promised me. You've promised me a blessing. I am fulfilling everything to a T. Lord, I just want you to hear me. I just want you to call me so that I may be compensated and made complete. What happens when someone is compensated for something in their life and they get a lot of money? What's the first thing they usually do? Well, I know what they should do. They should go pay their tithes. Somebody gets a big settlement. Oh, I'm going to pay the car off. Pay the house off. Come on, Grant. We're going to get us a new suit. I'm thinking a three-piece, not ivory, because you keep getting it all over you. We might have to go with like a light gray. It cleans good. And maybe some nice new dress shoes. You know, I've never owned a pair of Allen Edmonds, but I'm going to one of these days. I've done decided. I'm going to know what it feels like to walk in a pair of $200 dress shoes. So if any of you all feel led of the Lord to donate to my shoe offering, now that's for a cheap one. They go up into the thousands. I'm not going to do that. Be modest. Weston's going to donate. I got it. I got a dollar here. Who give me two? Whenever we get compensated, we celebrate. Thank you, buddy. What would happen here tonight? You can go sit down. I'm serious this time. I appreciate Brother Grant helping me tonight. What would happen if all of a sudden we were compensated and we had the Holy Ghost and our cup was running over? What is it we do? Sister Cindy, we find our phone, we call somebody, we text them, just like Zadie did. She had to come and tell you. That blessed me so much because she had been compensated. I seen Sister Miranda, and they're not here tonight. I seen her getting some compensation this morning. I have watched as different people in this church have come to this front and been compensated. Don't carry your problems back out the door. Don't leave until you've been made complete. Sister Lindsay, if you get ready to come to the piano, please. There's a lot of things. I want to close with this. I can't get away from it. Peter, he was impacted, Brother Jason, I believe, so much by seeing all the things that Christ did. After receiving the Holy Ghost, when he came across the lame man that had been continually carried to the gate of the temple, that he could not leave there when he was called upon until he had seen compensation given to a man that was faithful to beg alms at the tabernacle of God. Some people want to look at him and say, well, he just went there because for people were coming in and out of. There's a lot of beggars. And I don't mean to throw any darts or offend anyone when I say this. There's a lot of us here tonight that have come as beggars. We've came lame, halt, blind, broken, discouraged, depressed. Some of us even with disillusion. Not one to accept what's going on. I want to talk to all of you for just a moment as she's playing. And I want to tell you, this is the area, right here, of completion. You say, well, Brother Lucas, you can say that because you're a minister. You've been in this your whole life, and I have. But let me tell you a secret. I have had to fight, claw, scratch for every inch that I've got. Pastor, I remember when God was dealing with me. And he shouldn't have to do this. He was dealing with me to get the Holy Ghost because I was fighting against it. And I would let the devil tell me, oh, everybody's going to think you're a sinner and this and that. And I remember when I finally yielded to it, it was the easiest thing I'd ever done. I have to be honest with you, it was easier than getting saved. It was. Whenever I look back, I was like, that was so easy. I want to tell you that no matter what you're going through, Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Ghost is waiting to entertain you. There's nothing like going somewhere where you don't have to do anything. Where you're just ushered into the table, into the room, and you're set there and you are cared for. And they trip over each other, saying, I want to help you. I want to give to you. I want to pour into you. Here tonight, I want the church to stand. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. And I want you to be honest with me and honest with the Holy Ghost here tonight, because He's here and He wants to help you. If you are carrying anything and you're ready to be made complete, I just want you to acknowledge it. Just raise your hand and I want you to hold it for just a minute and let the Lord see it. Proclaim it. Say, Lord, I'm done. I am done carrying this thing. Thank you for all those hands. The Lord sees them. Now, I'm going to ask you this next thing. This is the hard part. While every head's bowed and every eye's closed, I want you to step out. And I want you to come meet me in these altars. Real quick. Not going to linger. Because what are we doing? We are responding to the call. Because what I find is that when we respond, when He whispers our name, that completion, that promise is on its way and it's coming and it's got your name on it. And I want the church to come. Amen. If you want to come and intercede and pray until the Lord moves on your heart, then I want you to pray for someone that is kneeled down beside you. I want you to begin to carry them until you feel the power of the Holy Ghost reach them right where they're at. But we've got to make a decision and a determination that I'm done being carried. I'm ready for compensation because the Father has heard your cry.